You open the Bibles to Matthew. Matthew chapter 10. I'd like to read a couple of verses out of Matthew. Just try and keep things in perspective. It says here in Matthew chapter 10, verse 39. Matthew 10, verse 39. He that findeth his life shall lose it. And he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it. And if you flip over to Matthew chapter 6, in verse 33. These are two verses I want you to keep in mind through the rest of what I have to say. Says here in verse 36, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. In the book of Ecclesiastes, it's a book written about what this life here under the sun is about. Not your work in the Lord, not your labor in the Lord, but your labor under the sun, right here on this earth. All that you do, where's the profit? If you look in the first chapter of Ecclesiastes, first chapter, in verse 2, it says here, vanity of vanities, saith the preacher, vanity of vanities, all is vanity. What profit hath a man of all his labor which he taketh under the sun? Where is the profit of all your labor under the sun? Now don't get me wrong. The scripture makes it clear that our labor is not in vain in the Lord. Amen. And in the Lord it's not in vain, but under the sun? It's another question. Where is the profit? Where is the profit of all your labor under the sun? You know, I remember back one time Mike Jackson was talking about this apartment buildings he had built in Houston, and the amount of years later, I don't remember how many, but what were they doing? They were tearing them all down. Where's the profit? All that labor, and they wiped it out. What profit hath a man of all his labor which he taketh under the sun? This book here, he goes through and explaining thing after thing. Right here, he starts at verse 4. One generation passeth away, and another generation cometh, but the earth abideth forever. One thing we can't avoid, we can't get away from, is death. One generation passeth away, and another one's coming. We're growing older, and one day we're going to pass away if the Lord doesn't come first, and another generation's going to come up behind us. He goes on, the sun ariseth, goes back down. Just keeps going in circles. The wind, same thing, goes to the south, turn around, comes back to the north. It's always going in circles. The rivers, they all run into the sea, yet the sea's never full. And from the sea, it evaporates, goes back to the clouds and rains in the mountains and forms or keeps some rivers flowing. Just a circle. Continual circles. Generations come and go. Continual circle. No progress. Just circles. And you can't change it with all your work under the sun. You can't change that circle that God has already put. He says in verse 9 of chapter 1, the thing that hath been is that which shall be, and that which is done is that which shall be done. And there is no new thing under the sun. You're not going to change anything with something new that you decided is new. No, it's not new. It's something that's already been tried before. It's something that's already been done. You cannot change it. You can't change the fact that you're growing old and going to die. It goes on with verse 14. I have seen all the works that are done under the sun. And behold, all is vanity and vexation of spirit. That which is crooked cannot be made straight, and that which is wanting cannot be numbered. You know, I got to thinking, what is he saying here? He saw all the works that are done under the sun, and that which is crooked. You know, I thought back, what does he mean by that which is crooked? There's nothing new under the sun, and that which was is what shall be. And what does it mean when you talk about a person, that guy's crooked? What's crooked? You're not going to change it with all the works done under the sun. You're not going to change the old man. With all the works that you try to do, you are not going to change your sinful flesh to become perfect and no longer sin and so forth gain salvation. Too many people have that idea, and it's not possible. It's impossible. All the works, he saw it all. There was not a work that a man could do under the sun that could change what he was. He says that verse 17, I gave my heart to know wisdom and to know madness and folly. I perceived that this also is vexation of spirit. Verse 18, for in much wisdom is much grief, and he that increaseth knowledge increaseth sorrow. How many have said that all they need is a good education? All they need is to change their environment and learn a bunch, and man, that'll change it. No. Vanity. It's not going to change the old man. Under the sun, there ain't nothing that's going to change the old man. And there's nothing that it really satisfies. It's all vanity and vexation of the spirit. He goes on in chapter 2. I'm skipping quite a bit because not enough time to go through the whole book. But in chapter 2, he says in verse 13, then I saw that wisdom exceedeth folly, as far as light exceedeth darkness. The wise man's eyes are in his head, but the fool walketh in darkness, and I myself Perceive also that one event happeneth to them all. Yes, it's better to be wise than to be a fool. But you're still coming right down to the same end. He says in 15, then said I in my heart, as it happeneth to the fool, so it happened even to me. And why was I then more wise? Then I said in my heart that this also is vanity. All the education in the world isn't going to change your heart. It's going to change what you are. And even then, you can be the wisest man in the world like Solomon was here, and he says, why am I any wiser than the fool? We're both going to die. We can't evade death. He jumped down a little here. Verse 17, he says, therefore I hated life, because the work that is wrought under the sun is grievous unto me, for all is vanity and vexation of spirit. Vexation of spirit. Vanity, maybe some of the younger people don't know what it means, some of the kids, just means something that's a waste of your time, doesn't amount to anything. At the end, you'd have been better off if you didn't even waste your time doing what you did, because it was vain, it was vanity. Vexation of spirit, that's something that you feel inside. You do something and, man, it just wears on you, drags you down. Vexation, vexation of spirit. And he says, I hated life, life under the sun. Why? Because it's all vanity, it's all waste of time. Nothing profits. There's no profit. All the labor, and you come right back to where you were at square one. Nowhere. He goes on talking about all that he labored, and what happens? At the end, someone else takes everything he labored to get. Why? Because he died. And the guy who inherited it all, he doesn't know if he's going to be wise or stupid, smart or dumb or what. But it all goes to him, and he's the one that worked so hard to get it. No profit. It's all lost. Chapter 4. Oh, wait, let's jump back to chapter 2, verse 1. He says, I said in my heart, go to now. You know, we can't change the past, and we can't change the future. So let's go to now. What can we do about now? He says, I will prove thee with mirth, therefore enjoy pleasure. And behold, this also is vanity. This also is vanity. You know, he goes on saying in verse 3, I sought in my heart to give myself unto wine, yet acquainting my heart with wisdom, and to lay hold on folly, till I might see what was that good for the sons of men, which they should do under the heaven all the days of their life. He wanted to know, what should a man do under heaven? What should a man do on this earth? He's going to look for it. He says he gave himself to wine. Why? Because wine is what makes you happy as far as this world is concerned. Nothing to do spiritually right now. I'm talking physically. In this world, wine is what makes you happy. Some of you may have never tasted it. Some of you kids may have never drank it. But when a man in this earth wants happiness, he goes for the bottle. Because why? It makes him happy for a little while. But he goes on and he says, verse 4, I made me great works. Verse 5, I made me gardens and orchards. Verse 6, I made me pools of water. I got me servants and maidservants. I gathered me also silver and gold. And 9 says, so I was great. And verse 10, and whatsoever mine eyes desired, I kept not from them. I withheld not my heart from any joy, for my heart rejoiced in all my labor, and this was my portion of all my labor. He says he didn't hold back anything that he wanted. And many times you think, man, if I could just have that thing, it'd be all right. But no, once you get it, oh well, throw it in the junk pile again. With the rest of the stuff that you thought would make you happy, or at least make you satisfied, he tried everything he could think of. He did what we've never done. And he came to the conclusion that it's all vanity. He says in 11, then I looked on all the works that my hands had wrought and on the labor that I had labored to do. And behold, all was vanity and vexation of spirit. And there was no profit under the sun. He saw it all. He did it. He tried it all. And no profit. No profit. You know, I think of what he says here, and I think of things that have happened in my own life. And I think of times in past when I've been just so tired of trying to get by. I say, I'm just going to relax, take it easy, go spend some money, just give myself what myself wants. And when it's done, you know, a day or two I do that, I come to the same conclusion. All was vanity and vexation of spirit. I look back and, man, that was a waste of money, waste of time. It's all done with, it's all gone, and like that, it's all done. It didn't take long. And where am I? Man, my spirit's all grieved within me. And, man, it's all vanity. There's nothing left. It's no profit. I looked on all the works, he says, that my hands had wrought. And he did much more than I've ever done. And he says, behold, all was vanity and vexation of spirit. There's no profit under the sun. chapter 4. Oh, excuse me. Wrong one. But let's jump on over to chapter 9. Skip some of this and get ahead a little bit here. Chapter 9 and verse 4. For to him that is joined to all the living, there is hope. For a living dog is better than a dead lion. For the living know that they shall die, but the dead know not anything, neither have they any more a reward, for the memory of them is forgotten. Also their love and their hatred and their envy is not perished, neither have they any more a portion forever in anything that is done under the sun. Under the sun is the phrase you need to remember here. Don't get it confused thinking, okay, after you're dead, same as the dog, man, it's all over. No, under the sun, once you're dead, it's the same as the dog. No one sees you, no one cares, it's all forgotten, okay? For God, that's another story altogether. The living, they have hope. The dead, it's over. It's all said and done. The living, they know that they're going to die. Are they prepared for death, is the question. The majority of people aren't. They have no idea where they're going to go when they die. It says the dead know not anything. As far as this world is concerned, once you're dead, that's it. You can't go to any of these great inventors of the past and ask them what they think about what's going on now or how they think we can solve the problems. No, nothing to do with them. It's over. Their love, their hatred, their envy, it's all perished. It's nothing now. They don't have any more to do with this earth, to what's done under the sun. He says in verse 9, or better yet, verse 7 says, go thy way, eat thy bread with joy, and drink thy wine with a merry heart, for God now accepteth thy works. If you're going to do anything, it's got to be now, while you're still alive. You can't wait till you're dead. It's too late then. Verse 9 says, live joyfully with the wife whom thou lovest all the days of the life of thy vanity, which he hath given thee under the sun, all the days of thy vanity, for that is thy portion in this life. Did you hear me? In this life, that's your portion. Not in the one to come. In this life, that's your portion. To live joyfully with what you have. And as it says here, eat your bread with joy and drink. That's all you got under the sun. And he says in verse 11, I returned and saw under the sun that the race is not too swift, nor the battle too strong, neither yet bread to the wise, nor yet riches to men of understanding, nor yet favor to men of skill, but time and chance happeneth to them all. In other words, it doesn't make much difference under the sun whether you're rich, poor, smart, stupid, doesn't make much difference. It happens to everybody. It's all by chance, which happens to all. Don't worry about it. What are you supposed to be doing? Seeking the kingdom of God. Not this earth. This earth, there's no profit. There's nothing. It's all vanity and vexation of spirit. He says in chapter 11, verse 9, rejoice, O young man, in thy youth, and let thine heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth, and walk in the ways of thine heart and in the sight of thine eyes. But know thou that for all these things God will bring thee into judgment. Therefore, remove sorrow from thine heart and put away evil from thy flesh, for childhood and youth are vanity. Yeah, youth, childhood, it doesn't last. Yeah, I remember back when the Lord first saved me, I was 14 years old. And it's all gone. I'm already old now. I got my own kids, man. They're 11 years old, my oldest. My baby's already 7 years old. I'm not young anymore. And I'm going towards old age. That simple. I'm not old yet. I mean, I don't consider myself old over the hill or anything, but that's where I'm headed. This body's headed that way. And he says, put away evil from thy flesh, for childhood and youth are vanity. It doesn't last. And he goes on in chapter 12, remember now thy Creator. Amen. Not tomorrow, now. In the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. If the Lord tarries, there's coming a day when all of us will come to that conclusion, I have no pleasure in this life. Verse 5, around the middle of it, says, and desire shall fail, because man goeth to his long home, and the mourners go about the streets. What's he talking about? Your desire will fail. You'll have no desire. And death comes along, and you go on. I was talking with my grandmother the other day. I went to visit her and I was talking with her and she was telling me that, yeah, things aren't like they used to be. I'm old now and I'm content if I got food in the fridge and I'm here in the house. She's not out looking for the everything under the sun anymore. Why? Desire failed. She didn't have that desire anymore. She's not young anymore. She's old, 83 years old. She still gets around fine and everything, but She doesn't have that desire anymore. She's not worried about getting a VCR and a big old giant TV and a bigger house and better food. No. She's satisfied with just food to eat and the little house where she's living. Desire shall fail. Why? Well, I got the feeling, unfortunately, it takes most people the whole life to realize that it's all vanity. He says in verse 8, vanity of vanity, saith the preacher, all is vanity. He starts and finishes the same. All is vanity. Under the sun, all is vanity. What's the conclusion of this whole matter? Verse 13, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. What's the conclusion? Fear God. Fear God. Why? Because this life is vanity, and it's almost over. And it's not going to be long before all of us are going to be right there where desire failed, and we got no desire but to just see God. Why not do like Paul said? I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and died, so forth. Brethren, how? Crucified to self. Desire fails, and a new one comes in, seeking the kingdom of God. He says in Matthew 10, where I started. Matthew 10, verse 39, he that findeth his life shall lose it. Yes. It's vanity. You're going to lose it if you find life here under the sun. All that pertaineth to this life is vanity. And if you find life in this life under the sun, you lost. He that loseth his life for my sake shall find it. He that, yes, lets desire fail. As far as this life's concerned, doesn't matter. It's not important. He will be the one who finds the real life, where the spirit isn't vexed all the time, and where the labor is not in vain. What does he say in 1 Corinthians 15, 58? He says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Not in the work under the sun, in the work of the Lord. For as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Do you know your labor under the sun isn't in vain? No, you don't know that, because it is in vain. You can take just about any profession you want. Mike working construction, everything got destroyed a few years later after it was built. Take a doctor who heals somebody, a few years later they die anyway. It's all in vain. It all comes back to nothing. But your labor in the Lord isn't in vain. Why? Because it's eternal. It doesn't go to nothing. It lasts forever. Amen. This life is vain and vanity and vexation of spirit. But in Christ, there's life, and there's life abundantly, and it's eternal. And as he says in Matthew 6, verse 33, he says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things. What are all these things? He's talking about the physical needs of your body. All these things shall be added unto you. You can strive for the world, strive for pleasures in this life, and you come to the conclusion that it's vanity and vexation of spirit. But when you strive to please God, when you seek Him first, and when it's said and done, you can look back and say, man, that was good. Man, that was fun. Man, that was something that, hey, I'm going to see it in the future. I'm going to see that guy and this guy and him and her in glory. And it won't be like it was here where, oh yeah, 10 minutes, oh wait a minute, something I was thinking about just the other day. You ever go to a fair or to Six Flags or someplace like that? You ever wonder why that ride's so short? It's not so much that they can get more people on it. It's that you won't realize that it's vanity. Because if they leave you on there too long, you come to the conclusion, man, this is boring, man, let me off. And I'm not joking. I'm serious. And that's why those rides are so short, so you'll be thrilled and, yeah, I want to get on there again. But it's vanity. And when you're all done with the day and you leave Six Flags or wherever you went, you walk back, man, I'm tired. Waste of time. Vanity. But when you come home after doing what the Lord wants you to do, yeah, you may come home tired, but you come back and inside you're, man, that was good. Man, the Lord was good to me today. Oh, man, I had a good time. I wish that every day was like this. There's a difference, brother. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. The The rest will come following behind.